Jaymon G in studio, and this segment we have joining us for aviation and government, Pat Murphy and Mark Singer from the National Weather Service Aviation Digital Data Service. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, gentlemen. Well, I, for one, don't know exactly what you do in that group, so why don't you tell our listeners, Mark, what you guys do?
Well, my official title is a Technique Development Meteorologist, and I work at the Aviation Weather Center in Kansas City, Missouri.
My name is Pat Murphy. I'm the Warning Coordination Meteorologist for the Aviation Weather Center. My role is kind of the customer interface, work with the FAA, work with pilots, making sure our products and services are meeting everyone's needs.
Okay, sounds good. And let's see, it says here that we want to find out a little bit about the background of your agency.
The Aviation Weather Center is part of the National Weather Service, which is part of NOAA. And there's a lot of NOAA representation out here this week. In our center, we produce forecasts across the entire U.S., as well as across most of the globe. We have an international branch and a domestic branch for producing forecasts. We're the source of all the domestic air mets and sig mets for icing, turbulence, convection. We also do area forecasts, general forecast of aviation flight categories for the entire CONUS, except for the five-mile radius around individual airports, which are done by local weather forecast offices. In our international branch, we do support of international efforts, support in graphics and forecast to other countries, and international flight travel. The ADS is Aviation Digital Data Service. It's more or less a website that is a multi-agency effort that has put almost any kind of weather information a pilot may want to get a comprehensive picture of the weather that they may be looking at in any kind of travel or other efforts. And Mark's pretty technically proficient on that, so we'll have him talk about the website, the types of material that are on there, and a little bit about how this came to be about with the multi-agency effort.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Mark, why don't you, first of all, let's give the web address a few times
during
the broadcast.
Sure.
We'll start out with that, and then you can tell us more about the website.
Okay. The website is ads.aviationweather.gov, and you can get anything you need on the ADS site from there. A little bit of history of the ADS program. The Federal Aviation Administration supports a working group called the Aviation Weather Research Program. The funding for the birth of ADS essentially is it came from the FAA. The National Weather Service hosts the site, and it became operational in October of 2003. Since then, every year we get several updates to the site to make it better. There's new science, new technology that's developed, and we bring it to the ADS site as it passes through the protocol of the federal government. Since its inception, it's kind of exploded, actually. Now, every day, we receive over 11 million hits to the website, and we transfer 120 gigabytes of data per day.
11 million?
11 million.
Wow. That's a lot.
And AirVenture is a great place because when we work the booth, every pilot that comes up, if they don't know about ADS already, then we make sure we let them know. Everything they need, aviation weather data-wise, is there. We call it our aviation weather resource.
Is this going to replace DUWATS then? Is that the idea?
I would say not in the near future, and we should caution to say right now that using the ADS site does not replace any required briefing at this point. So a lot of people will use this to plan a route, and if they have an idea of a route they want to take, they can use our site and find out, well, that's not going to work out. So then they'll work out another route and then go to something like DUATS and get their official briefing.
But the information on ADS is the same information that's on DUATS, or is it different?
It's the same.
It just doesn't have the capability of recording your IN number and taking the data collection that's necessary.
And that would be the next logical step if this was to be integrated in something like that. But
Because a web briefing would be a lot easier than having to log into DUATS and do all the hocus pocus that's involved.
That's right.
So where does it go from here?
Well, there actually are two sites. We have an experimental ad site as well, which allows users to see what's coming next, what kind of features we have. And that web address is weather.arrow. And on that site...
Arrow, A-E-R-O?
A-E-R-O, correct. And on that site, we can show customers what's coming, if there are new products in the pipeline, both National Weather Service and FAA-funded products. And on there, a lot of the newer products, we allow customers to give some feedback. And we have a standard survey form that customers can feed up, look at, and tell us how they feel about the new product, whether it's a navigation issue. And we take that very seriously at the Weather Service. So there's that as well. And ads is kind of, it's just a growing product. I've heard that it's the most popular product that the Weather Service puts out as far as a website's concerned, and that's evidenced by the 11 million hits that I mentioned earlier. So it's just growing and growing and growing. Based on funding, you know, if the funding is there, this is something that gets updated, you know, 3 to 4 times a year. We have a news item on the top of the page that lets customers know what's coming, what's available, what's going to be new. So, we take suggestions at the booth, at the NOAA booth, at the Federal Pavilion. We write them down, and some of them we can make happen. Some of them are small tweaks, and some of them we put in the pipeline to see if we can do something about later.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's discuss a typical visit to the website. So sure. You go to the website, which is?
ads.aviationweather.gov.
Okay. And pops up a homepage, mm-hmm. and it's a data entry fill-in format, or?
It's a little bit of both. You can get, what I like to do as a forecaster is you start from the top down. If you want to view satellite imagery over the continental United States or internationally, you can do that, visible, water vapor, infrared. You can view loops of that. You can look at just the latest one. If you want to just look at specific site radars from the NEXRAD network of the National Weather Service, you can do that. We have a mosaic that's available, and then you can interactively click on a specific site, the most popular one this week being Green Bay. And you can view real-time base reflectivity, composite reflectivity, storm relative velocity, etc., rainfall totals. You can look at prognostic charts that are generated by the Hydrometeorological Prediction Center in Washington, D.C., and you can look at a current surface map as well as 12 hours out, 36 hours out, 48 hours out. We have high-level charts that are produced by the Aviation Weather Center, prognostic charts that are put out for specific regions of the world that produce convective, 24-hour convective jet stream locations, turbulence, tropopause heights, and volcanic ash as well.
And this is all presented in a very graphic format.
Very easy to use, very graphical a format. And also, just to say, you know, if you get to the site and if someone's confused, we have information links that tell you a little bit of background of how to navigate what we have on the site, what data is available on the site, and we have a very good feedback process as well. If you just want to get METAR reports or TAF reports products from us, we have interactive Java tools that you can, a specific person can even go down to a few counties if they want to, zoom in, and they can mouse over to get their TAF or their METAR or pilot reports as well. One of the
neatest features of the ad site is the flight path tool. You can overlay different like roads, terrain, rivers, counties, or different states over the map. You could you can choose the weather that's depicted on the, whether it's winds or turbulence, forecasted turbulence. You can put current airmets or sigmets on there.
Is that just like a checkbox and refresh type of
function?
Yeah.
You just hit the checkbox and the graphic automatically updates and puts on there whatever you have. But the neatest feature of that is the actual flight path tool. You can click on a little airplane icon and click the waypoints of your path, and it will give you a cross section, a vertical cross section of the forecast. If you're looking at turbulence, say across from Wisconsin across to Minnesota and into the Dakotas, if that was your flight path, you could see the plane view. You would just see the maximum value of turbulence that's expected. But if you did the cross section along your flight path, you could see exactly at what level that turbulence is going to be maximized, and maybe you could adjust your anticipated flight path level You know, if it looked like the maximum turbulence was going to be pretty severe at 10 to 12,000 feet, and maybe an AirMet, you know, for safety reasons would say there's going to be turbulence 8 to 15,000 feet, you could probably tweak your route into the lower or above that maximum turbulence value. Same thing with winds. We've had a lot of people using the flight path tool the last couple of days to look at winds at their flight level, and many people have thought, yeah, I was going to fly home at 8 or 9,000 feet, but the winds are a little bit more favorable at 10,000 or at 7,000, and I think I'll do that.
J-Mon, GEA Radio, we are headed out to listen to the Podapalooza.